ambulance emergency. What town or suburb?
Hello, Eleanor Road and Gift Creek Reserve Park. Yes, hold on. I think he might stop breathing.
Okay. Is he awake? Stay with me. Is he awake? Yes.
No, he's not.
He's not. No, is he breathing?
No, he's not.
Stay with
he's
me. Okay. All right. Now I'm organising some help. I'm organising some help. Stay with me. Okay. Yep. Okay. Now, is there a defibrillator available?
No, there's not.
There's not. Okay.
No.
Now, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you how to do resuscitation. Okay. Place the heel of your hand on the breastbone in the centre of the chest, right between the nipples. Now, place your other hand on top of that hand. Yep. Now, pump the chest hard and fast at least twice per second and 5 centimetres deep. Okay? Until help can take over. Now count out loud and I'll count with you, okay? And let me know when the ambulance is with you.
I can hear it.
Okay. Now if someone can keep an eye out for it and wave them over.
Yes, they are. They are.
Thank you for that. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, you're doing a good job there. Keep going and stop until they take over, okay?
Okay,
now are the paramedics with you yet?
Paramedics here now, yeah.
Okay, look, I'll let you go to speak to them. All the best. Thank you.
Absolutely. Look, if you really want to show, I feel if you really want to show your loved ones, families and friends how much you love them, get your CPR skills up because you're never going to know when you need it. And things might seem hard sometimes, but they can be a lot harder.
Are you saying the best gift you can give anyone is the gift of life?
It is. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right.
What about you?
Look, from a life perspective, I think it's really important to focus on really simple things, the gratitude, be grateful for the things that we do have, not the things that we don't have. Every day, the little things can make the biggest differences. Number two, in line with what Donnie said about family, what I've realised even more so is that family and friends are just so important. So make sure that you really spend time with family and friends and appreciate them as much as possible. And thirdly, certainly what we've tried to do is try and find a higher purpose for your skill set. And that's why we've created CPRfriendly.org, because it's a way of being able to give back to people and help save some lives, but also it combines our key skills and strengths that we most love using. So gratitude, family and higher purpose.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, welcome to Professor of Perseverance Podcast, where we interview people who have overcome tragedy, challenges, adversity, difficulty, whatever you want to call it. They've overcome it and they get kicked the butt and moved on in life as a result. Today, our guest, let me add that S in there, guest is going to be, this is going to be phenomenal. I mean, I hadn't done a podcast like this one yet. And I'm just as eager, I hope all of you are. In 2018, Don and Hutch were bike riding when all of a sudden Hutch has a cardiac arrest, sudden cardiac arrest, and he is what's put on the other side of the light for 18 minutes. Wow. He's been, his time here has expired, basically, for 18 minutes. Thanks to some quick think by Don and other bystanders, they were able to call 000. They're in Australia, where here it's 911. CPR was performed, and Hutch became one of the lucky 9% to survive an out-of-the-hospital cardiac arrest. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on and sharing your journey and your story. This is going to be awesome.
Thanks, James. We're very happy to be a part of the broadcast today.
And it's good to be live.
Yes, especially for him, Don.
Or Don. I have to call him. He insists I now call him my hero.
And we refer to Hutch as the survivor.
Slave.
No, you're not my slave.
I'm his slave.
No.
I have to mow his lawn and wash his car every week.
There we go.
Nice to be here, James.
Well, this is also great that y'all are adding some humor in here. I mean, because some people – so my dad, actually, he passed away driving a vehicle back when – well, it's before I got in a wheelchair. and someone behind them got in the seat of the car and drove my dad to the hospital, and my younger brother and mom were in there, and they were able to bring him back to life. And so, I may have been 14, 15 years old when that happened. And I mean, I didn't ask a lot of questions on what happened, what it felt like, what, you know, I didn't know. I was just too young, didn't understand. And so, but now I'm older. I don't know if any wiser, but I'm older and want to learn more now. So,
Sure.
All right, so let's go ahead and y'all can jump in however you want to, and y'all are bike riding. And
In fact, we just Donnie and I just finished our weekly bike ride this morning, exactly around the same track.
Yeah, and as always, I was leading the bike. I was in front. He was behind, lagging behind,
lagging and struggling.
On that that fateful day, you see, it was a very weird morning because, as Donnie said, he was leading, which is very unusual. But I've always seen myself as a fit and healthy guy. Mm-hmm. I'd actually just cycled from Amsterdam to Paris a couple of months earlier, and it was just a very garden variety bike ride. And then all of a sudden, if we might play an extract from the Triple O call for 60 seconds, all of a sudden this happened.
Ambulance emergency, what town or suburb?
Hello, Eleanor Road and Gift Creek Reserve Park. Yes, hold on, I think he might be not breathing.
Okay. Is he awake? Stay with me. Is he awake?
Yes. No, he's not.
He's not. No, is he breathing?
No, he's not.
Stay with me. Okay. All right, now I'm organising some help. Stay with me, okay? Yep. Okay. Now, is there a defibrillator available?
No, there's not.
There's not? Okay.
No.
Now, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you how to do resuscitation. Okay, place the heel of your hand on the breastbone in the centre of the chest, right between the nipples. Now place your other hand on top of that hand. Now pump the chest hard and fast at least twice per second and 5 centimetres deep. Okay, until help can take over. Now count out loud and I'll count with you, okay? And let me know when the ambulance is with you.
I can hear it.
Okay, now if someone can keep an eye out for it and wave them over.
Yes, they are. They are.
Thank you for that. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, you're doing a good job there. Keep going and stop until they take over, okay?
Okay.
Now, the paramedics with you?
Paramedics here now, yeah.
Okay, look, I'll let you go to speak to them. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, it's pretty surreal listening to the the ambulance actually arrive to your near-death experience. I was then taken to the hospital.
Local hospital, yeah.
Luckily, I got a police escort.
Yeah. He got what's called, what are they called?
I don't know, James, if you've ever heard of a green corridor. It's when all the lights go green, usually reserved for presidents.
And dignitaries, important people.
Royalty, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
and
I
dead people.
Yeah.
And what's that?
And dead people.
Well, and dead people, yeah. But sadly,
yeah, well, he did. He wasn't important enough to get one of those.
I didn't get a green.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, eventually got to hospital, and I was there for 2 weeks. They were doing all these tests. Didn't know what had gone wrong. I was in induced coma. I popped out luckily the next day, and at the end of those 2 weeks, I actually got implanted an internal defibrillator, which is good news for me, a bit of an insurance policy. If it ever happens again, Donnie doesn't have to do too much. This just pop back in.
Yeah, it very much takes all the pressure off me, this amazing piece of technology he's got inside him now to definitely help, not prevent, because they really don't know, do they, why Hutch had this sudden cardiac arrest, but hopefully that if he's unlucky enough to it happen again. It takes all the pressure of me. It'll kick back in and bring him back to life, and I can just sit back and put it on YouTube or Instagram or something.
Yeah. Let everybody else witness him kind of shaking when he gets shocked.
Yeah. He can just have a smoko. So, but, I mean, what we didn't realize back then was the difference between a heart attack and a cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
You know, a heart attack is a plumbing issue. Clogging of the arteries. It's happens, you know, potentially it can be a genetic issue or a diet or exercise issue, whereas a sudden cardiac arrest is actually an electrical issue. It's a freak electrical issue of the heart, where the heart electrical system just goes into spasm. And I know in the States, about 1,000 people die every day from a sudden cardiac arrest. Mm. Only 9% of people who have one survive. I was one of the lucky 9%, thanks to my mate here. You know, one every 90 seconds in the States, someone will die of a sudden cardiac arrest.
I mean, as you can imagine, from my perspective, when it happened, we were just riding along, and then all of a sudden, Hutch called out my name. I turned around just in time to see him careering off in the bush, totally unconscious on his bike, ran back, and he was out cold. Luckily, we had a couple of other people walking along, Caroline and Anne, walking along the track. We used their phone to call 000 or 911, as it is in the States, and then a jogger also stopped to help. And the thing that we're really big on is trying to get this awareness out there now, after our experience, of how important it is to know how to resuscitate someone in these situations. Because, you know, when the 000 operator told us to start giving CPR, it was only then that I realized it had been like more than 25 years since I'd ever done any sort of training.
Yeah.
And it keeps changing all the time.
Yeah, it keeps changing, yes.
Yeah. And we were very lucky that Tim was there, yep, who had just refreshed his CPR certification.
Yeah, so he was great. He jumped straight in and started giving cardiac compressions, which unfortunately means I drew the short straw and I had to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
There we go.
Horrendous. Experience.
You just keep reminding Hutch that you were able to give him the breath of life.
Yeah, well.
I don't know what he gave me. He gave me very bad breath and nightmares for quite some time, that's for sure.
It's just like permanently carry around breath freshness these days.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember when I was much, much younger and they was teaching, you know, CPR in the schools. And now, again, I don't know all of it because I'm not refreshed, but listening and some other stuff, it seems to be much simpler than it used to be. Used to be they tell you, go find the bottom of the press, breastbone, then come up of a hand and a half or something, and then push.
Yeah.
And then you do it for 15 presses if you're by yourself, or and then two breaths.
And now it's birthday
Yeah, exactly.
So look, if we've got time, we can quickly run through it all.
For all your listeners.
Yeah.
Give them a quick refresher.
And we've also got a free webinar that anyone can get access to around the world.
I mean, we were lucky. We were, because of our quick action, and like you said in the opening introduction, unfortunately in Australia and in the USA, unfortunately, only 9% of people who have a sudden cardiac arrest survive. And like, we are really super thankful that Hutch is in the 9%. But you know, on reflection,
I'm pretty chuffed as well. Yeah,
it all comes down to more people having the knowledge and just feeling confident in these situations, if they find themselves in these situations, to jump in. Because unfortunately, in these emergency situations, only 70% of bystanders, 70% of bystanders will say they feel unconfident and don't know what to do. And in actual fact, that's a very big percentage of the reason that the survivability rates from things like this are so bad, because people just aren't confident, and that's what we want to make people confident.
I would think that would be the number one key as well. I mean, they go through the training, but then all of a sudden when it happens, I don't know if I got enough training. And like I said, I think the confidence has got to be, damn it, we're going after this and do the best we can.
Look, and the key mantra is any attempt's better than no attempt.
Yeah.
And the good news is the Seattle, and I think it's King County area up there in the top left-hand corner, are actually the world record holders in survivability. And whereas most places in the States and Australia, Canada, it's about a 9% survivor rate. The Seattle area has a 62% survivor rate. Wow. World record holders. Mm-hmm. Congratulations up there.
So move to Seattle if you want to live longer.
That's it. So yeah, the two, The two main reasons are they have a greater percentage of people who are CPR friendly, CPR aware, and a greater percentage or a much higher rate of public access defibrillators in that whole area. So they're much more aware of what needs to be done. So 62%, seven times the average is amazing up there. So they're kind of the role model in providing community heart smart, heart safe environments up there. Yeah.
All right, Barry, I want to ask you this. I know it's a dumb question.
No, dumb question. I'm pretty dumb. So,
well, I used to be a school teacher, and I used to tell the kids, no, there's no such thing as a dumb question. One day, one kid asked a question, I said, it may not be dumb, but it's pretty close to it. So,
can we use that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But here's a question.
James, the good news is if I give you a dumb answer, it's because Donald didn't give me mouth to mouth very well, and I've got a little bit of brain damage.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go. I want to know because, we hear stories from people that have come back from CPR death experience, and we hear the light on the other side. It was getting closer to something. Some people say I was given the option to come back or stay, and so just wondering,
floating above my body, looking down,
stuff.
The question you always get asked, isn't it?
Well, it's a very
survivor hutch,
very common question. Look, it's interesting. It's very interesting, and everyone who's listening, lean in, because we hear about going up the tunnel, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe seeing relatives, and I've never met my grandparents, my dad, both my grandfathers, and all that sort of stuff, and then we get the option of do we stay, do we come back, or in my case, do we go down the stairs and it's very hot down there. look, the short answer is a sudden cardiac arrest. For me, it was like being anaesthetized. Sudden cardiac arrest happens in seconds. I blacked out, heart stopped.
Dead for 18 minutes. Yep.
Clinically dead for 18 minutes. Where they then tried to revive me. Two shocks with a defibrillator. The AMBO was doing cardiac compressions in the ambulance on the way to the hospital to keep oxygenated blood to the brain. I was put into a coma. I was on an ice bed, and they put a lot of drugs into you. The answer is, for me personally, is I don't remember a thing. Sorry about that, but I don't remember a thing.
That's perfect, honest, and authentic. No, that's good.
It actually took, and Donnie can talk to this, it actually took me a number of days to start to get my memory back. It took me probably 5 days I got back to, I'm going to say, my normal, which isn't that normal.
It'd be fair to say, James, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Hutch, but in Hutch's recalling and memory, he from what has happened, he lost all thought
and bowel control.
No, you didn't lose, but thank heavens I didn't want to have to deal with that on the bike trail. You can't remember anything from, you can remember up to maybe the morning of the day it happened. You have memories to that.
Yep.
Then you have nothing almost for 4 days.
Probably.
And I don't know if it's a like Hutch said, we don't know if, and they said that the powerful drugs that they give to induce really does shut all cognitive thought down. And I also don't know, I wonder too, physiologically, if really the body goes into such a state of just trying to keep the critical parts, the brain and the heart, like all of those sorts of things, tries to put all its resources into that, that things like memory and everything like that just gets shut down, and like that, they stop the record button,
which is why they put you on the ice bed. I mean, friends were saying that I was in ICU, shivering, but unconscious, because the ice bed is designed to shut down all the peripherals and organs, just focus on the essential organs. But I mean, I wonder whether I've looked into this a bit myself, with interviews of a whole range of people on YouTube. I wonder if I don't remember anything. I wonder if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't remember anything because of the drugs. I wonder if psychologically your body cancels out or blacks out that trauma. Or in fact, nothing at all happens. I mean, it's interesting. On the bike ride, we still go on the same bike ride.
Right. We ride past that fateful spot.
We ride, boom, over my body.
There's a tree root there now.
every week. And some people go, how can you do that? And I treat it more as a celebration. It's a reminder I'm on extended time. You know those arcade games when you're driving around and it goes, extended time. Well, I feel very much like that. So instead of, and I'm sure if we get time, we'll talk about this, instead of post-traumatic stress, I like to focus on post-traumatic growth. How can I grow out of this experience? I've been given an opportunity for a second go. What would I be doing? Should I be doing differently rather than, oh, my God, walk on eggshells, this could happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just quickly finishing off that topic around when Hutch came out of the coma, the induced coma, which we're very thankful for.
The induced coma or that I came out of it?
That you came out of it and the induced coma. In actual fact, it was like he was reset a little bit because he would constantly loop. So he was conscious, but he would constantly loop on about maybe not even a two-minute loop where he would say the same thing over and over again. He'd say he'd realize, he'd look at, oh, I'm in a hospital bed, and then he'd ask us all, what happened? And we'd say, you came off your bike, and not knowing how much to tell him to scare him, we'd say, oh, we think there's something wrong with your heart. We don't know what it is, but you've something's happened and you're here in the hospital. And he'd go, really?
Whew. Yeah.
And then he'd go, what's happened? And he would just keep looping, and then eventually that time frame got longer. He went from 2 minutes to 5 to 10 to half an hour, where he could actually start to remember. Yeah, and that must have been – it was pretty comical from our point of view because, he'd start saying things like, oh, what happened? Oh, you're in hospital. Really? Yeah, you owe us lots of money. You owe me lots of money.
Really? Apparently I still do. Look, I've just got a very inquisitive mind. I like to constantly learn in life, and I want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing,
apparently I kept introducing him to my partner Katie all the time,
who I've known for years, and his mum and dad, and all that sort of stuff.
I've just been brought up well.
There you go.
Good manners. Good Tennessee manners.
Tennessee. There we go, slipping in there.
Yeah.
All right, now Don, let's go. While this long, I mean, for you, that's a long 18 minutes where, again, Hutch, 4 days is 18 minutes, because he didn't recall. But you're there. You're recalling everything. 18 minutes of you working, having other people work with him, CPR and whatnot. I mean, even that ambulance getting there had to seem like forever waiting. Tell us about your experience there.
Yeah, look, when we talk about this, really, Hutch wasn't there.
I had the easy job.
He had the easy job. Yeah. Look, it was, there's no denying, it was incredibly traumatic. The real stress in the moment when it happened, it was obvious it was a really bad situation. I don't know if that came across in the Triple O recording there that we played to you. I tried to stay as calm as I could because I knew that we were it, me and the other people that were there helping to try and keep Hutch alive were it and his best chance in that moment. So I just thought, got to stay as calm as you can and do this job as best as you can, no matter how out of my depth I felt. Great relief when the paramedics got there and took over. But that was, I think, the first point where they took over and they're working on him. The look on Hutch's face was as dead as someone could be.
Dead as a doornail, I think is the phrase.
Yeah, I think that's the first time that the emotion came in for me a little bit. And then when they put him in the ambulance, important. I got very focused then on, okay, look, I've got to go and get his partner, Katie, as quickly as possible, get to the hospital. And honestly, from that point on, till he popped out of the induced coma, that's when all the self-doubt came in. That's when all the guilt and worry, had I done enough? That was the worst time for me, of course. After that period, I can't tell you how relieved I was when he popped out there. So even though we didn't know the extent of the damage from
for several days
after, and you know, imagine the stress of going, gee, have I done the compressions deep enough? Did I you know, do the right mouth to mouth?
Yeah.
How much rash did he get?
I didn't have time to shave. I'm sorry. I didn't have time to shave.
And not, you know, not being able to sleep at night. And same with Katie, you know.
Is he going to
come out, oh, God, don't make me cry.
Yeah.
Is he going to have any brain damage? Is he going to even, you know, survive? All these things. And then the potential bracing yourself for the guilt around, have I done enough?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, any attempt's better than no attempt. If you want somebody in your corner, this is the man you want in your corner.
I believe that 1,000%.
Yeah, yeah. You could. I've got another mate that says probably, you know.
No, that's your dog, Hutch.
He's certainly gone up from number 7 best friend to number 2 these days.
There you go. That's right.
But
number 1 is his dog, just so you know.
I could believe that too, because I have my service dog, Ricardo, and he would be up on my list as well.
Ricardo, what a great name. Yeah,
si, senor, it is Ricardo, the dog.
Yeah. The thing is that Donnie's background is he's a performer, an actor. So he I think if you talk about peak performance in the moment and staying really focused and getting in flow, then he had the ability to really focus on what needs to be done. And he probably played the role of hero very well that day.
I pretended.
So
if I had a cape and a mask, I would have done it so much better.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, yes, that's right. Superman, yeah. Batman, that's right.
So, exactly.
But I suppose as for us, you know, both from our two perspectives of this experience we've had, like Hutch said, you know, on the other side, the amount of gratitude we both feel has been what's motivated us moving forward to understand this situation and pay it forward as much as we can, because I didn't lose a very close mate and friend, and you're alive.
So I can wash his car and mow his lawns now. But it really is, you know, for us, it's like, wow, we've got a second chance. Let's help pay this forward, and let's try and shake those stats, because 9% survival isn't a very good survival rate.
Especially when it doesn't have to be that way. Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's some simple things that people can learn that can make a huge difference increasing people's chance of survival. And the thing is, 70 to 80% of the time, a sudden cardiac arrest is going to happen with a family or friend member because that's just who you're usually with.
Yeah.
So it can happen at any time. So, you know, just understanding, just getting people. We say you don't need to get CPR certified. Just get CPR friendly. And that's why we started CPRfriendly.org because there seemed to be this gap.
I was going to give the website out as CPRfriendly.org.
Friendly.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, go to that and then me in a wheelchair when I was teaching, because I couldn't get on the ground to do all that stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even when I was going to college, we had to take CPR class and couldn't get on. So they would just tell me to supervise and tell people what to do. So even if someone else can just keep everybody around them calm and say, hey, I need you right now. Get down here and start. And just someone taking control there.
That's what I was about to say. And you know, in our trainings, we've created all this free training where this is a not for profit that we've set up. It's really just to help pay it forward. We've created a 5-second training, a 15-second training, a 3-minute training, 10-minute, and now that we've got a new 45-minute free webinar that anyone can do. But it's all around You know, any attempt's better than no attempt. And you're exactly right, James. You know, if you're in the wheelchair, you probably can't do the compressions. No, but you probably can do the breaths, eh? I reckon.
From a distance.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. You need to have a scene management hero.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to direct traffic and go, great, we rang 000. You could be holding the phone or 911 on speakerphone. You could be saying, can you go and get a defib? Can you go out, open the front doors or make sure that you flag down the ambulance when they're here? Okay, we need a queue of people to be doing CPR. It's 30 compressions to two breaths.
Yeah.
You know.
Quick, you go and get a defib. Someone like send someone to try and find a defibrillator.
You're exactly right. So I was very lucky we had four people there. So everyone had a role. And that's going to maximise your chances if you've got someone who's being a director, a good scene manager.
I've never performed CPR, obviously, but my understanding from hearing other people is that you get wore out quick given those compressions. And so you have to have people to rotate in there.
A perfect scenario, yes. We've even taught CPR to 90-year-olds at nursing homes, and for them, they can't get down and do the compressions with their arms because they just don't have the strength and upper body strength. So we teach it by getting them to put the heel of their foot onto the patient in the chest and just hang onto a chair or something and just lean in and use their foot because it gives them hope.
Yeah, yeah, and that looks brutal. And if you're looking at it, you're going, what are you doing, Stanley? Just, but in actual fact, any attempt's better than no attempt. And if you don't have the arm strength or the ability to get to the ground, it is a perfectly good way to administer compressions and keep that oxygenated blood going through the person's body.
It sounds realistic to me that if you don't have the arm strength, you should have the leg strength.
Yeah.
So sounds good to me. Yes.
Yeah. Should we talk about? I mean, there's a very simple acronym which I imagine is internationally known.
Yeah,
Doctors ABCD. Yeah.
Yeah. So Doctors ABC stands for D is for danger. Just first of all, make sure that you've there's no danger for the first responder, electrical or water, or sometimes family members can be your biggest danger because they're hysterical. Yep. Yep. Don't do compressions on his chest. He's got a broken rib. Well, he's going to die anyway.
Yep. R is for response, trying to see if the person is, responding. And there's a simple acronym for that, which is COWS, where you just get down very close to the person and say, can you hear me? Open your eyes. What's your name? Squeeze my hands. The old school used to be grab them by the shoulders and shake them.
Exactly. Yes. You know, yes.
That is definitely out now. It's definitely just try and elicit a response through the COWS acronym.
And using all the senses, just in case they've got a spinal injury. And then S is for send for help. Now that's your phone, your mobile phone is your biggest friend. So by ringing 911, or in Australia it's 000, and the great thing is, as you heard on our emergency call, is that they will quickly diagnose the situation. They will actually coach you through the whole CPR process anyway. So ring on your mobile phone, put it on speaker. Ideally, they will send for help as far as ambulance goes. You might have heard also that on the call they said, have you got a defibrillator? And you might have heard the tone of voice when Don said no, and they went, okay, the stats aren't going to be as good here. So ring 000, get someone to go and get a defib.
Yep.
And
I mean, the fact too with your phone, I don't know if you know, even if it's not your phone, and I'm pretty sure this will be the same in the States, is that in actual fact, if you just spam the button on any phone.
Pulse
the buttons like
On most phones.
On most phones. It automatically starts to starts to call
emergency
services on any phone. So you don't need, even if the phone's locked.
Yeah. So if you're out with a friend and you don't have your phone, but their phone's there and you don't know how to open it, So that's doctors. And A, danger response and send.
A is for airway, checking that the airway of the person is open. Like in a lot of car crash situations, you know, people can be slumped over the wheel and it can be simply just lifting their head to open the airway to let air in and they can start to respond again. Or there may be debris in there. In these situations, it's very normal for a body to throw up and stuff like that. You just need to clear as well as make sure that, you know, the tongue is free too. Make sure the airway is clear.
So that's A and B.
We used to call it sweeping. Take your two fingers and sweep the inside of the mouth.
Yeah.
What we called it up here. So
A little bit of vomit sweeping. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
You
don't have to clean it out. Just sweep air.
Yeah. Right. A podcast talking about bodily fluids.
Vomit sweeping. Talking about vomit sweeping.
Beautiful.
Okay. So A is for airway. B is for breathing. So you want to check whether they're breathing. And again, you can do that through this in 10 seconds, just listening, feeling, and looking to see if there's any chest rises. And that's the key. If they're not responsive and they're not breathing, then you have to start.
C, which is cardiac compressions. And that is simply looking at the chest, just locate the nipples, stick the palm of your hand on the breastbone exactly halfway between the two nipples, and you'll start to do 30 compressions to two breaths in a cycle. 30 compressions to two breaths, pushing down a third or 5 centimeters. The depth of the chest is what you would do to do proper cardiac compression.
Here
in the States, you say third. We have no idea what a centimeter is.
Oh, yes, 2 inches.
Isn't that sad? That's pitiful. You know, our country is so far behind on metrics. We're so far behind. It's
2 inches? Two and a half inches?
Yeah. You have to tell us, So
basically go as deep as you can, but make sure you're recoiling.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. You can't go too hard.
I mean, the rule of thumb is if you don't think you're pushing hard enough, push harder.
I can see that.
And you know,
here we go. Listen to this. Listen to Mr. Winger. Here we go.
40% of the time, you'll break ribs. So Donnie broke 3 of my ribs.
It was not me.
It took me 6 months to a year for my ribs to actually come good again. And I might sound like a whinger, but, you know.
No, I've heard stories about that before. And that was one hesitant of people. I don't want to break the ribs. And like you said, all right, don't break the ribs. They won't live, but don't break the ribs.
Exactly.
And if they don't survive, they're not going to feel the ribs anyway.
Exactly.
Our little mantra is you can't kill a dead person.
Yep.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So there we are. Doctors A, B, C, and last is D.
D is for, D's only kicked in probably in the last 5 or 10 years. D is for defibrillator. So a defibrillator, which you probably see on, TV shows, is the only thing that can restart a heart after a sudden cardiac arrest. Because remember, a sudden cardiac arrest is an electrical issue of the heart. A defib will actually reboot the electrical system of the heart. That's what it's designed to do. Mm-hmm. So you want to get a defib as quickly as you can, ideally within a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. The quicker you get it on someone, the more chance they have. Every minute of inaction reduces someone's chances by 10%. So all you do is get a defib and just press the button to turn it on. They will be all, it will tell you exactly what to do. There's audio prompts throughout, so they're completely idiot proof. Even Donnie can use one.
Yeah, I can.
If you can make a cup of tea, then or coffee, then you can actually use a defib. They're basically
I love the way you said coffee. Then I was thinking too, it's as simple as a cup of coffee.
Yeah. So that's the doctor's A, B, C, D.
That's all the knowledge you need.
If you can't remember all of that, then ring, use your mobile phone to ring and they will coach you through it.
Yeah.
If you want to be a little bit more, then if they're not responsive, do the compressions and then get a defib on someone as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And again, you can go to their website, cprfriendly.org. And I'll put that in the description notes and everything for everybody to find.
That's
training, yes.
Yeah, the 45-minute webinar is the way to go. We do it in a fun way, and we're all about making death fun.
We're making saving lives fun. If you haven't already got the sense, look, we're not taking away from the seriousness of the ordeal and what happened to Hutch, or the importance and seriousness of having great CPR and resuscitation skills. It's just that we definitely choose to look at the lighter side of what happened to us, because, you know, most people we have found will learn a lot more if they're having a bit of fun along the way. And yeah. so we try to make the topic light.
Well, I'm like you, that that there's too many people that take life too serious, and then they're afraid to venture out to try something new. And so this could be a hindrance, holdback, if they're too serious. So, yeah, get out there and learn to do this. I may be out there one day, and I need that 9% to increase. So from one of y'all one day out here on out in the States here. So
Now
let me ask this question here, gentlemen, both of y'all, to both of you. Mm. You played the early on, you played your 911 or 000 for your what happened.
Mm. Yeah.
Even though that's 3 years ago, not quite three, but we're approaching whatever, 2018, 2021. Is that still emotional when you hear this going on, or is it now you've done it so many times?
Great question, James. So we did a presentation, a live presentation the other day, and for me, it was not my turn, but it becomes where I almost started to cry again. You don't know when it's gonna, you don't know, but you know, because we have heard that recording many times. In the start, it was pretty hard to listen to, especially for Hutch.
Oh, I can imagine, yes.
And there are still times when, as much as we fun around, like the reality of this is the first time I said that, you know, I had to go and tell Katie. I didn't even want to say what it was like in the car on the way to the hospital with Katie. I mean, I know that emotionally probably, you know, we do get taken back to the reality of it. And, yes, it is can be quite emotional and overwhelm you very quickly without you knowing.
Mm. Yeah, when you hear the ambulance, it's very interesting listening to that actual ambulance coming to your own situation when you're actually dead and they're just trying to preserve your life. It's quite surreal. If you listen to the whole 10-minute recording, as far as emotion goes, you know, you hear the first 4 minutes, there's a lot of stuffing around before they start compressions. So if you talk about emotions, I get pretty angry and frustrated going,
Get into it
because what's happening is that they're trying to find out the location. There was no street address in our situation.
We were in the bush a bit. Yeah, we weren't in. Yeah, it was in a little bit of a remote area.
So there's quite a bit of stuffing around. Luckily, I think Tim jumped in and started compressions. Yeah, well, these guys aren't doing too much. But to actually find the luckily they had a phone with Google Maps on it, so they could actually get the location. So that's obviously there's an app called in Australia. There's one called Emergency Plus. You press one button and it gives you your GPS. Location and one press and it's, you know, you've got your 911 call there. So I'm sure there's apps in North America.
I'll check that out to see if there's an app and I'll put I'll post that in the notes as well.
I think there's one internationally called Good Sam or Good Sam Alert, SAM. Mm. So that's a really good thing. So we've got that app on our home screen in our phones because something like 35% of the time they don't know, you don't know your location. Or you could be at a friend's house. You've been there a million times, but do you know their actual street address?
With everything going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You just, you're not thinking clearly.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of the post-traumatic stress is for, because the way I look at it is I go, oh, I'm the lucky one. I've got bonus time. And I've now got a defib in my chest, so I'm lucky. I'm well looked after. You know, I can't be too stupid. But for people like my partner Katie and Don, you know, they went through the actual, you know,
trauma,
and even Katie, my partner. Well, for about a year, she was very much, oh, where are you going?
I'll go downstairs and get the paper from the front door. No, I'll take the rubbish out.
She almost had a tracking bracelet on my ankle, you know, to where is he? What doing?
The uncertainty if you're coming back. So,
well, that's
I can see that.
And I remember a few months after when we were back bike riding again, and we had bumped into one of our paramedics. And so we had a chat with them for about an hour. And then I got a phone call. I said, I bet this is Katie. And it was, because she goes, she was looking on, you know, Find My Phone, which, or Find My Friend app.
And he was staying still again in the one spot.
He was, yeah. I was stationed for an hour. So the post-traumatic, she got triggered, and the post-traumatic stress for her came back, and she was just ringing to make sure I was okay, which is great that I've got a partner that cares. But, you know, it can be really challenging for the partner until they build that more confidence and more certainty around it all.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, James, in these situations where someone has, you know, a near-death experience or is lucky enough to survive, a lot of them actually, as we've found, will end up totally changing their life. They will tread on eggshells. They will change their diet. They will all of this sort of stuff. And the great thing about Hutch is that he is.
There's a lot of great things about.
No, we don't have to go into that.
We've got.
No, we don't. is that the great thing is that he is pretty much living his life before this happened. He's now living exactly the same way as he did before, and you know, he's not treading on eggshells. He's living his life to the fullest, and you know, that's an important message for anyone who goes through these sort of traumatic experiences, is that, you know,
jump back on the horse, but in your case bike, and go at it again. So that's what I'm trying to get through some of his podcasts, is we all go through something, and what's the best thing to do is conquer it. And to continue living the best life as you can. Don't live on the eggshells. Don't get in the bubble wrap and hide away from everybody. Get out there and live it from everyone else.
Well, and I think we're really trying to own the situation and raise the awareness that if it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone.
Anyone.
That's why we started CPRfriendly.org. We went, okay, look, there's a lot of little videos on YouTube, or you can go and do your St. John or your other
technical training,
but there's got to be something in between, which is a bit of fun and easy to learn, because we find the only people that do CPR are those that have had a personally relevant experience for themselves, like us and our family. Or if you have to get CPR trained, you have to get certified and qualified, like personal trainers or physios or teachers or whoever it might be. So we wanted to create something in the middle that's fun, easy to learn. You know, my background's in being educator, and Donnie's background is in comedy and performance. So we brought what we think are some of our key skills together and tried to create something fun but educational. And that's why the webinar, we had a lot of fun putting that together, and we hopefully want to get it out to as many people as possible. It's all free, and they can just quickly learn in a fun way CPR. We take a lighthearted look at it, but give them the serious bottom lines to what they need to do to be able to hopefully save a life as well.
Mm-hmm. Erica, thank you for coming in. She says she'll catch you after we're done. She's got other things she's doing, but thank you for coming in, Erica. And so, Erica, when you come in now, Hutch actually passed away bike riding, and Don and others performed CPR and brought him back and gave him some more borrowed time now. So, all right. Thank you, Erica.
Hi, Erica. Hi,
Erica. Now, luckily, this isn't a hologram. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hey, now, I love your humor. Again, I've been with some people, they're just so serious, it's hard to really do a show when they're so serious. I'm not pinpointing any one of my other podcast guests out here.
But I'm just, so this is the podcast to watch.
Let's have some fun. Let's learn. Live like this we can. Now, I got something to add to your triple zero tape. Again, what we would call 911. With your humor, you know, when the ambulance, you hear the ambulance coming in the background with the siren. Mm-hmm. Back in the 60s, they used to blow the horn for the cavalry's coming.
Yeah.
So y'all need to get a cavalry back in the background to show that they're coming. So
yeah.
That would make for a very interesting time. You think, yeah. Well, you make you feel good because at least you think, you know, there's a whole army coming to save you.
It sounds very positive.
It does sound positive. Yeah.
Look, and look, we try and be positive with all this. We try and use humor. Humor is one of our coping strategies as well, and I think it can help right through life. To not take things too seriously, as you'd mentioned, James, yourself. Yeah.
So, guys, thank you for coming in, Don and Hutch. And so, man, it's an amazing story. Again, I just love meeting people that's been through something that I don't know anything about. Yeah, I can learn from it. I can get some inspiration and stuff, some hope that y'all are providing. Again, you can go to the website, cprfriendly.org. And again, I'll have it in the show notes stuff. All right, gentlemen, if you don't mind, we all know people are struggling. And if you don't mind, if both of y'all can take whatever time you need and give us some type of positive message, some type of hope to let them know that once they get through the struggle, a better day is coming.
Absolutely. Look, if you really want to show, I feel if you really want to show your loved ones, families, and friends how much you love them, get your CPR skills up, because you're never going to know when you need it. And things might seem hard sometimes, but they can be a lot harder.
Are you saying the best gift you can give anyone is the gift of life?
It is. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right.
What about you?
Look, from a life perspective, I think it's really important to focus on really simple things, the gratitude, be grateful for the things that we do have, not the things that we don't have. Every day, the little things can make the biggest differences. Number two, in line with what Donnie said about family, what I realised even more so is that family and friends are just so important. So make sure that you really spend time with family and friends and appreciate them as much as possible. And thirdly, certainly what we've tried to do is try and find a higher purpose for your skill set. And that's why we've created CPRfriendly.org, because it's a way of being able to give back to people and help save some lives, but also it combines our key skills and strengths that we most love using. So gratitude, family, and higher purpose would be the
case. All right, yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, yeah, this is great. So I'm all with you about the giving back. I mean, there's something we all can do something. We can't do everything, and we don't want to make ourselves so thin we're neglecting ourselves. So, but there's something you can, I mean, I can't mow a yard, but I can find someone to go mow a yard for someone if they need it, or I could pay someone to go do it. But, yeah, so we can all do something to help out mankind. And I appreciate what y'all are doing with your website and the humor and everything that's going to help people learn as well. Everyone else, hey, you don't have to drop dead of a sudden heart attack and be the bystander wondering what's going on, or you don't have to be a spinal cord injury like me. But share this to someone you know that's struggling, that needs some hope, that needs some positivity in their life to help them get through another day. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.